Hello.
We got Paul. We got Tommy on the phone. How are we doing, guys?
We're doing great. We're doing great. You know, my wife's name is Erin.
Is it spelled E-R-I-N?
No, K-Z-L-P-Y.
Well, there's different spellings, you know?
Bunch of smartasses.
A lot of times people will be like A-A-R-O-N. I'm like, that's the boy version. What the hell's wrong with you?
There's all these artsy ways to spell names. Well, let's get back to basics. E-R-I-N.
Your wife is awesome.
Hey, we were having a conversation in the studio, Paul and Tommy, about the gear that you guys wear, because one of the things in Detroit, there's a great picture of you guys back in the day leaving the Pontchartrain in full gear and walking across the street in the snow to go to Cobo Arena. How the hell do you walk in those shoes?
Walking's easy. Running backwards takes a little bit of work.
Jumping around on stage.
That's part of when we talk about the end of the road tour. If we were in our T-shirts and flat shoes, like a lot of bands, we could play rock and roll into our 90s. But, look, the band's getting along better than ever. The band sounds great. This new show is bombastic. It's the biggest, most complex, most Kiss show we've ever done. So to make that the end of the road, it makes a lot of sense. It's not a negative. It's not something we're doing because it's become drudgery. We're doing it as a victory lap, and we're better than Detroit to celebrate. We've written a lot of songs, but the only song I wrote about a city is Detroit Rock City.
Yeah, we always talk about that. I mean, Paul Stanley, Tommy Thayer, you guys just listening right now. Kiss End of the Road World Tour, Little Caesars Arena, March 13th. Tickets go on sale this Friday. The box office Ticketmaster. It's going to sell out in a New York minute. Paul, one of the things about Detroit and our relationship with you as a band, I mean, going to Kiss Alive and everything else, tell me, I'd heard this story that going back to like 1970 when you guys did the Kiss Alive, that you guys were living off your manager's credit card. Is that true?
It's really true. We had a manager who believed in us and really was like a fifth member of the band. And back then, he was financing our tour on his American Express card and really in the hole for hundreds of thousands of dollars with no means to pay it. And I remember going into his office one day because at that point, everybody in the band was drawing $65 a week salary. And I went into his office with the idea of getting a raise to maybe 70. And I looked at the bottom of his shoe and had a hole in it. And I went, never mind. So, we've always had people around us who are incredibly dedicated to us. And that starts with our crew, but it extends worldwide to our fans. Look, the Kiss Army is what every fan club or fan team is measured by. There's nobody like Kiss fans, but it's because we started out as people in an audience who wanted to be respected and get the kind of show and adulation from the band that we were giving them. And once we did that, the fans saw, you can talk it all you want, but you got to walk it. And nobody has been more dedicated to their fans than we have.
And speaking of a fan club, Kiss Army fan club pre-sales will start on this Wednesday, actually. Tomorrow's the 30th, isn't it? That's Tuesday.
Tuesday, we got it.
I never know what damn day it is.
Close enough for government work. Hey, I want to talk about Detroit Rock City. But I got to ask Tommy, we were talking about the gear. Because as a kid growing up, when I had Destroyer, it was on my wall. And then I bought two copies of the album, one that I could hang up on the wall and one that I would listen to. That's how I was so into it, dude. But Tommy, the first time you put on the gear and went out on stage, what is that like?
Well, you know, it was obviously a mind-blowing experience. I had had some experience putting Kiss makeup on before, just for fun. You know, when I was younger, I had a tribute band for a few months, and we put Kiss makeup on. And actually, Gene and Paul came to a couple of our shows just in a club in L.A., and it was for a lot of laughs, and we all had a good time. But they could see that I could do that, and they knew that I knew all the parts, the guitar parts, and they knew I could put makeup on. So that kind of led to me being kind of the heir apparent when it came to time to have a new guitar player come in 17 years ago.
You nailed it, man. You absolutely nailed it.
Well, people sometimes don't realize that when we did the reunion tour with the two original members, Tommy was the one who sat with them and retaught them their parts that had been forgotten over the years. So Tommy's vocabulary of music not only Kiss is so vast, but in terms of Kiss, he takes everything we've done and just blows it out of the water. And it's this lineup has been 17 years. Eric's been in the band over 20. We play to millions of people, and we want to celebrate the history of the band, everything the band's done. Most of the tours we've done recently in the last decade probably consisted of about 16 songs. We'll do at least 20. Yeah. And besides that, we'll have enough pyro to set a new world record. We're going to blow the place up.
Besides that, you know, this is the last opportunity for all the Kiss faithful, the Kiss Army, to come see the band play live. And also people that have never seen Kiss before, this is their one opportunity to see the band. It's a must-see, and they'll have the opportunity to do that on this tour as well. So it's the last opportunity to do that.
I guarantee you, anybody who comes to see the band out of curiosity and goes, you know, I've never seen them before, I might as well go. Those people are going to leave going, I should have come to the party earlier.
You're damn right. What have you been waiting for?
Jim asked you guys about putting the costumes on and stuff. I've always wondered how long it actually takes you to put the Kiss makeup on and take it off.
Well, taking it off is much quicker. It's like if you build a castle out of playing cards, building it takes a while. Knocking it down is pretty simple. So taking the makeup off is fairly quick. But doing the makeup and getting into battle gear is almost a ritual that we do backstage. So that can take an hour and a half, it can take 2 hours. It's something that we do with a lot of pride. It's not unlike shadow boxing before a match or stretching out before you go into the gladiator ring. So it's all of the above.
All right, I got two things for you. First of all, Paul, can you tell any story that we can air about what happened at the Pontchartrain Hotel back in the day?
No.
Just, you know, I actually, this is a true story. When they reopened the Pontchartrain and it's open now, I tried to get them to dedicate a floor with a plaque to you guys.
Yeah, and they weren't keen on it?
Well, they said they didn't have enough Purell in the world to clean up that floor.
So. Okay, well, we'll leave it at that.
Okay, and the second question is, walk me through this again. There's so many people over the years talk about Detroit Rock City. Obviously, here we are, a classic rock station in the Motor City. We play the hell out of that song. When did you come up with the song and the connection to Detroit? Because weren't you in Charlotte or something when this all went down?
It's really a combination, but the song always had its roots in Detroit. I was writing a song pre-Destroyer, and people had written songs about different cities, but I thought, hell, the song I want to write about is Detroit. Detroit was the first city that really embraced us. We were still a opening act or secondary act in every market, but Detroit...
One minute.
Detroit is home to so much great blue-collar music, whether you go back to Bob Seger, Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels, Alice was there, MC5, Stooges, you know, even if you're talking about Ann Arbor or you're talking about Flint with Grand Funk Railroad, the music has just been amazing. And, I mean, on top of that, you have Motown. I mean, it's just crazy the amount of music that has influenced the band and influenced me. So the whole idea was to write a song about Detroit, Detroit Rock City. And then I started thinking we were in Charlotte and there was a fatality outside of the arena where somebody who was going to the show got killed in an auto accident. And I just thought that the combination of celebrating Detroit and also interjecting somebody trying to get to a concert and not making it was kind of a cool juxtaposition, as the word goes. But the song has always, always been a tribute and a flag waving on my part and the band's to Detroit. Detroit Rock City is one of my proudest moments.
You're awesome. Paul, Tommy, everybody with Kiss, we will see you here at LCA on March 13th. Tickets go on sale, of course, this Friday here in the Motor City, man. Thanks for all the music. It's going to be one hell of a show, bud.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.